Okay, we are still a work in progress over here, y'all. I have all the things this week, and I've tested this out with the, I bought a hoodie. I like to think of it like a windscreen, like a little hat for my microphone. I think it's called like a windscreen. It's to help with noise. And then I've got Blake's Bose headphones on from circa 2007 when Bose was in its prime. But I feel like Delilah on the radio, like, hi, welcome to the After Hours with Amanda podcast. The podcast where we talk about live parenting and how Taco Bell is related to everything that's McDonald's now. But here's my only fear, okay? My only fear that I'm telling you about is can you hear this? When I move my hand on the mic, I don't know if it'll be like buffered out a little bit, but it sounds like pleather pants on a leather seat. And if you wear pleather leather pants, ooh, okay, you know what I'm talking about. I'm going to put my phone on do not disturb because the last thing I need is someone digging while we have our time together. Oh, I already did it. She's on top of stuff today, you guys. Okay. But here's the thing, you know, when you wear pleather or leather pants, whatever's your fancy. Okay. And you go to the movie theater or you go to anywhere that has a leather seat or a chair and you're just sitting there and it's like, you're like, that's the pants. It's the pants. I didn't too. It's the pants, you guys. Although I would probably just fess up to it. Blake always jokes. Cause the other day we were like, I'm very open about bodily functions with the ladies. Like I sweat gas through my ribs too many times on a date. Like I just should have gone up and gone to the bathroom, sitting there in pain, feeling like I'm being stabbed or shanked by this gas pain. So that I tell the girls, I'm like, dude, you let it fly. If you need to find an area that's more private for you, be my guest. But you know what? It is not worth the stomachache you're going to suffer, okay? And eventually your husband's going to hear it anyway, all right? Eventually the person that you're with, you're going to rip them. Like, I'm not going to live in my own home and not have a gas pass. But I'm so excited. This is our third episode on video. This week has just been so crazy. Can I just tell you, I didn't have to work out. I needed to work out. Because it's been almost 5 months since I've been in a gym, and that's not from some like aesthetic BS kind of thing. That is just that when I have some type of physical activity, I am inevitably happier. It doesn't have to be big. Like we could be Richard Simmons in my living room, sweat to the oldies. It's my favorite DVD. Okay. I own a ton of them. I would bring back that franchise. If there was look at me right now. I've got socks, like my little scrunch long socks and some like cool, like Nike shoes that I like to think are giving, but, I would absolutely bring back that whole like dance your way to whatever makes you happy kind of vibe versus like HIIT training. You're not going to catch me in a gym doing HIIT training. I would rather literally eat blue cheese, which I think is you guys, another thing you need to know about me, I don't eat a lot of cheese and I certainly will not eat blue cheese. It tastes like barf to me, literal vomit. But I would rather eat a bowl of blue cheese than do mountain climbers or burpees. Oh, burpees. Like who even thought that, why? There's not something better that we can do than burpees. I cannot. But we've got our Disneyland blanket right here. Hi, Minnie. But yeah, no, this week has just been busy. And getting back in the gym was nerve wracking because, you know, I'm upfront with the trainer that I work with, Josh. And I was just straight up like, I had butthole surgery. Like, that's what it was. Like, that's what it is. And I don't know how to say that more politely so it makes people's, you know, gentle ears. But like, there are tampon and condom commercials out there. Okay. So like me talking about my butthole and the fear of tearing something is just a real fear for me. So we're going to address it. And he was super nice about it because, you know, he's like, okay, like, well, you know, we'll ease into stuff. But think of a squat. Like when you've had stitches and a scalpel up in that area, the thought of squatting, yeah, you're going to clench. So, also on Monday, I had my first therapy session with this new therapist I went to. And I mean, I think that this should just be normalized. I loved my previous therapist. She did EMDR. She did talk therapy. She was so incredible. I love her so much. And I had texted her and just been like, hey, with what I've been going through, I'm going to kind of investigate something else. That is not weird. That is not weird. That's like when you decide where you're going to go to eat dinner and do you want Italian, Chinese, or In-N-Out or like whatever. It's picking what's going to be a best fit. It's not that you don't like Italian food. It's that you're in the mood for Thai. So I think that people need to realize that it is okay if you get to a point where things either feel stagnant, where you need something different, where you go through something, that you can switch up therapists. And any good therapist like mine was, she straight up texted me. She's like, it is totally fine. I am okay if you want to keep us both. I am okay if you just want to do one. I am okay with you coming back. I support you. Your dream. That is what a therapist would do. If your therapist meets you with some type of animosity or passive aggressiveness, like they weren't for you anyways, and better you found out now. Like that's, but so I had that this week and it was very eye-opening. We didn't get into what that therapy really, really is, but I kind of just like trauma dumped. But just the way that she was reframing things for me and the way that I say things was super helpful. Because like going through the health thing I did, I kind of have like this irrational fear of certain stuff right now. And I want to work through that. But we had that this week. I helped out in the lunchroom at my girl's school, which literally is my favorite thing to do. I love their little student body there. And I just think the tiny humans and the growing humans that'll soon be in high school, they're good people, you know? So I'm taking Corey to a play date today. I get to field trip tomorrow. We're living again. I just want to soak that in. Corey's listening to Christian music in the next room and I can hear oceans. I just want to soak in for a moment that, you know how there's a scene in The Office and Andy Bernard says, I wish we knew we were in the good times when we were in them. I don't know why I'm getting emotional. And I was driving the girls home from school yesterday and I was like, I worked out. I did lunchroom. We've got a field trip. And I just looked at them and I was like, you guys, look, Mom's doing it. She's back. And they were like, yeah, oh my gosh, Mom, you are. And it was this moment of being present for all of us in that second that I was so happy because I was like, oh, Amanda, you caught it. You caught this moment. You're being in the present. You know, you're in the good old days right now and you grabbed it and you caught it. Because so often we're moving to the next thing. We're moving to the next event. We're moving to the next appointment that we don't realize that the moment we're living in is the one that we wanted. And going through what I did, looking back at me in October and this video that I have of me, just like sobbing, crying, just in my closet, literally talking to myself. So I would remember that I had ventured back because I wanted to be proud of me. And so often when we're going through trauma, why would you videotape yourself when you're going through a traumatic experience? You wouldn't, right? People, and certainly people would judge that, right? If they find it on your phone, people are so just quick to see something and overly face value it. But I recorded myself in that moment talking to myself because I never wanted me to forget what I went through. And whenever I felt down on myself or like I couldn't get through something, I wanted me to be proud of past me and remind current me that she needed to keep pushing for future me. Because sometimes we venture through things and we forget what we've done and how far we've come and the path that we've been on and the trek that we've climbed. We forget all the things we've done and we don't take that minute and say, oh my gosh, present me, look what past me did. We made it here. We did it. My future me is going to be so proud of me. So I just wanted to share that with you because this week has been busy, but I have never been more grateful. Also, side beef, we have a date night and Blake wants to go see Avatar. And I've already talked about this on every platform possible, but a 3 hour in like 12 or 21 minute movie. You guys, I mean, I must love him because he really enjoys Avatar. I don't get it. It's Disney. Don't get me wrong. I love Disney. And I think the premise of it is beautiful. I think, you know, the movie is very well done and stuff like that, but it's not a movie like I'm going to be watching. Toy Story. Did you hear? I'm not on Twitter. I would rather eat goat cheese than be on Twitter. Okay. That's the same as blue cheese in my book. You guys, I can't with the blue and goat cheese. Anyways, I would rather do that than be on Twitter, but Tim Allen, I saw on Instagram a tweet where they're making another Toy Story. And then Bob Iger announced that there's another Frozen. Like, what are we going to do, you guys? Like, what is it going to be about? Like, I don't even, here's the thing. I'm a purist on a lot of levels too, right? Like, give me Toy Story. Like, they wrapped that story up so nicely. And, you know, like, how will they do that? Because he was referencing Woody in it. Like, what's that going to happen with Bones? But I'm going to watch it. I'm going to watch it. Like, are you kidding me? Because I've got to know. What did we come up with, guys? As if I'm on the, like, Pixar team over here. But I'm just excited about that, truthfully. And the whole Big Hero redo to Disney's California's Pier. So many good things right now. You're like, Amanda, you've been literally rambling on for 10 minutes. I know, I had to catch you up. There was a lot to catch up on. But I want to talk to you about something that I have a 9-year-old now. She's 9, she's going to be 10. Golly Moses. If I think about it too long, I think she's lived with me. Ooh, I can't. Half the time, I can't do it. Okay, moving on. I can't think about that for too long. I need to take a sip of water. It's making me over emotional. But I'm getting into this age where, hold please. London has little friends. And, you know, they're little kids, right? I mean, they're little adorable, sweet human beings that have different personality traits, different things, just like my human. And she has them at school and she has them at church and she has them at tumbling and she has them at all these different things, right? And we've got swim and all these activities, different groups, sets of friends. And I just remember growing up, and I was talking to someone about this week, and this is kind of with so many different things that I have found as a parent, that whenever your parents didn't like someone, they were super restrictive in how you hung out with them, right? Like, oh, you're not going over to Sally's house. Now, I don't know Sally's parents. That was always the reason. I don't know Sally's parents. Then they met Sally's parents and it was always like, oh, it's a school night. Oh, it's a this. Oh, it's a that. Ugh. Well, then it always made me want to hang out with Sally more. Well, I'm going to hang out with Sally every day at school. Well, Sally must, like, why don't my parents want me hanging out with her? They just don't get Sally. Sally's cool. I like Sally. And it's like, I'm super big on this. Okay. I'm not restrictive with sugar. I think being restrictive with sugar is one of the, like, most intense things that can cause, like, different issues with, I think Corey's knocking on the door. Hold on one second. Hold on. Okay. I think that we picked up from right where we were. Okay. I think that we were talking about Sally and it's just going to keep going into what it already was, but who knows? This might now be 2 episodes, but I am smart and I can figure out how to add them together. Just kidding. I don't know. We'll figure it out. But here's the thing. I was talking about being restrictive with sugar. There are, in my experience as a parent, I ate this chocolate wrapper just a minute ago, Lindt red. I like the Lindt round balls. Those are my app. Like, those are so good. Okay. These, I'm going to sidetrack here. I have to. Okay. They're the Lindt chocolates. They're the milk chocolates. They're the round ones. I put them in the fridge. You can eat them with almonds, like put a little chocolate in your mouth, and then raspberries. It's so friggin' good. I'm going to drop it on the floor and pick it up later. But here's the deal. As a parent who's been around other kids, I have observed this real desire of people to be very strict about sugar. And the amount of kids who, when they get sugar unsupervised after that, literally are puking is insane because they weren't taught restraint. Because there's a difference between restriction and restraint, right? There's a difference between kind of teaching our humans how to navigate something, whether friendships or sugar or life, and being like, no, you can't have that at all. That's absolutely off limits. No way. I mean, come on, let's look at Ariel. Where did that land us with Ariel, right? Okay. Selling her voice to a sea witch. You want to talk about restraint versus restriction. But sometimes it is easier for us, you know, because as a parent, we've quote unquote been there. All right. And here's the thing with been there. I've really started to take this with a grain of salt as we enter new stages with the girls. Been there as myself and been there as my child is two different things. Now, there are some things in life that kids are going to navigate, peer pressure stuff that you're going to have a beat on because you went through it, but you are not going to be your child going through it, your tiny human. You're not going to navigate it in that way. You may not respond to it in the same way that they will because you are not them. And that's something very hard for me because I see stuff that happens in London's life and Paige's life, and I immediately in my mind can see how it will play out. Oh, I know how this is going to end up. But that's very projecting is something that I have realized, because here's the thing. London, Paige, and Corey are not me at all. Now, did I birth them? Yeah, I birthed them. I have that physical connection to them. They're going to have similar things to me, but their essence and soul as a human is not me. And that's why whenever I reference parents, I'm always like loved, adopted, come into your life, birthed. However, you are that person's person. You're their parent and you have as equal value as anybody else. I don't think the fact that that connection looks different for everyone, okay? And I think that that is a beautiful thing. But here's the thing that I think we get stuck in is people will always say, oh my gosh, they're so much like you. Oh my gosh, they look just like you. Oh my gosh. And they're going to, because I kind of look like my mom and kind of look like my dad. I am literally nothing like either of them. However, I do have similarities. But the way that I ventured through life and the way that they ventured through life were totally different. Now, did we come upon the same situational things? Absolutely. But here is the thing. Restriction is the easy way out. And don't jump on me for saying that, because truthfully, restriction is sometimes easier. People are like, well, I don't have to explain myself. There's a car in the street. It's so annoying. That's always the thing. People are like, well, it's safety. And I'm like, I get that, but you can teach safety instead of just telling the kid, and I've said this before, and I will literally go down on the hill with this. Instead of just telling a kid, you never cross that street. Curiosity killed the cat. Okay. And then people be like, satisfaction brought it back. No, curiosity killed the cat. Because here's the thing. When you don't say, hey, the reason I don't want you to cross the street is because there's cars, you know, but if we look both ways and if there's an adult nearby, I feel confident with that and comfortable with you. With London, she has an iPad. Ooh, moment of silence for anyone who's going to be upset about that. you guys, yeah, we have iPads. Am I super big on like iPad time? I take it with the days. I take it with their moods. I take it with what's going on in their life. I don't have like you get 1 hour a week and that is it. And I'm setting the timer. That's not what works best for us. That might work best for other people. I know there are a lot of kids who get overstimulated by devices, and I hear you. I see you. I feel you. Okay. But that's not what works for us. And I'm not saying that's has to be for everybody. I'm just saying like, you need to do what works best for your family and your child. And the iPad is beneficial to us on a lot of levels. Here's one of them. The iPad is a great way to teach restraint. I utilize it as a tool. See, I think sometimes we demonize things and we just want to get rid of them, right? Sugar, this. I'm also not a earn it when it comes to fun fuel. You're not earning dessert. We don't earn dessert in this house. We find balance in everything. That's what came to me today. She's like, Mom, when did you really start thinking about the balance of things? I was like, girl, I got to be honest with you. I think you were about like 3 or 4 and you started to just want certain things. And I was like, I need to find a way that she will start being intuitive with herself, but also feel comfortable to do stuff, right? Like I don't have certain things up high so people can't reach them, because inevitably a child's going to get a chair, and then you've got a kid on a chair, and then I'm concerned for them falling off the chair. So that doesn't work for me, right? But I was like, you know, you were probably about 4. And I started thinking, you know, like, let's make a choice. What do we want? Here's what we can eat today to fuel our body. Here are our options for the day. We have apple. We have goldfish. We have some chicken. We have a, you know, a cheese quesadilla. And we got some fruit snacks. And we got a little Hershey chocolate. And it's like, oh, Hershey chocolate. I'm like, oh, you want that right now? Yeah, okay, sure. Hershey chocolate. Sometimes I'm going to give you the Hershey chocolate at 9 a.m. because I don't feel like time and food need to be correlated. There doesn't need to be now, if we're going to an activity in the morning, right? And they're going to need energy, or if they have a test at school or something, I'll be like, yo, girl, let me lay it out for you. I totally get the chocolate in the morning. I feel it. I love it. I'm here for it. But you have that test. And I don't know if the fun energy that's quick and over quick is going to be what's going to fuel your brain to go through that 30-minute test. Maybe do the good fuel first. That's going to get you that kind of like good, sustained. And then like I'll pop it in your backpack. Boom. Wink. Lunchtime, just, or snack time. You have a first recess. Pop it at first recess, girl. And if anyone has a problem, tell them to call me. because I want them to learn the restraint of regulating themselves and building the confidence in making those decisions. We do the same thing with the iPad. With their iPad, Lennon's getting into this age where she might want to watch a movie. Now, can I sit there and watch every single solitary movie that she could see? No. Have I seen a lot of the movies? Do I know a lot of the shows? I do. And she's turning 10, and I'm trying to slowly and comfortably, confidently and comfortably for my mental state, give her that freedom, right? So I'm going to say to her, I always say, use your best judgment. Come and find me if you have a question. Now, a lot of the movies I've seen, I've forwarded through and I've looked at, because here's the thing. People might be like, well, why don't you want your kid? There are some things that introduce conversations that I am just not ready to have, nor do I think at the age of 9 or 10, you need to have right now, right? Like I don't want that to be the focus. So Lennon will come to me and she'll be like, hey mom, in this one thing, you know, so-and-so and so-and-so. And I was like, yeah, no, girl, that's a crush. That's, you know, blah, blah, blah. And oh, okay, cool. All right. I just wanted to check in with you. And me, I look at her and I go, I trust you. I trust your judgment. Do you know what that's doing? If you really look at it, that's building confidence in her, hearing her parents say, I trust you. I trust your judgment. Confidence in herself that she feels good about the decision. Because I think a lot of times, and again, I think, let's just disclaimer this. We're real deep into the episode to disclaimer this, unfortunately. But I am not the authority on everything. I am not a certified specialist. I have no degree in anything, right? Okay, so disclaimer there. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a psychologist. I'm not a parenting expert. I am just a mom who wants to share and finds it helpful to talk things out with you. But I think that the reason that peer pressure usually plays out in the way that it does is because kids are intimidated and don't feel comfortable. And because things are so restrictive, they think something's being hidden from them. So they're going to do it on their own anyways. Now, kids are going to make choices on their own anyways. Some are going to be great. Some aren't going to be great. Some will pan out fine. Some will not pan out fine. But I would rather feel like I'm doing something to build the confidence of making decisions than just crushing them at every corner of no, 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 no. Because no builds nothing. No builds more questions, more curiosity, less trust, and more secrecy. I had friends growing up that used to hide sugar. Like they would literally, and when we would go out, like in high school, even to each other's houses, or when even in college, like college age kids hiding candy. Like that doesn't build a relationship for them with food either. And we're not going to go down the food route, but when kids do things right at a young age, if we always tell them, you can't go do this. And this is like in relationships too, right? You have non-negotiables in relationships, right? Like certain things you don't put up with, certain things that are imperative for you to be an active, secure, happy, loving participant in that relationship, right? But if everything's restricted at every turn, is that a healthy relationship? Like if you're dating someone and they're like, yeah, no, I don't want you eating red meat. Or, no, I don't want you. I don't like squash. You shouldn't eat squash. We're not going to eat squash anymore. I don't want you hanging out with that person, that friend of yours, that friend. No, I don't like him. Yeah. Let me see your, I don't think that you should be making calls after this hour, or I don't think. Okay. Toxic level, like 2000. Are you kidding me? If I was dating, I dated somebody who was like, oh, it was the double standard of it all. He ended up at a, you know, strip club and cheating on me. And here I am not talking to any of my friends or making new ones, especially if they're male. Okay. Especially if they're male, and not talking to female friends about problems that we have. Thus, I ended up in a toxic relationship in high school. But there is a difference between treating your kid, and I said this earlier this week on TikTok, like a group project where you really don't want collaboration on it. You just want to do it yourself because you know it'll get done the way you want it. I mean, when I had that thought last week, I was like, oh, Amanda, golly, because sometimes in the busyness of life, it's just easier to say, no. I don't have time for this. I don't have time for that. I'm just going to, you know what? There needs to be no collaboration on this. Like Lennon asked to pack her lunch last week. And I was like, you want to what? What? She's like, can I pack my lunch? And I'm thinking, okay, well, what are we going to do with that? You're going to need help with that. You know? It was literally painless. I made it such a bigger deal. Girlfriend like took care of it. She packed her snacks. She packed her stuff. I had just said like, hey, here's the deal. That can't make us late for school because I know you don't like your lunch packed the night before. Because my girls just don't like fruit sitting and stuff. They don't ask why. It's what works for our family. So I just said, hey, if you want to do that, you need to get up a little bit earlier. Do you want me to wake you or do you want to set your Alexa to wake you? Like you just have to pick one. And so she was like, no, just wake me up a little bit earlier. I'll do it, you know, whatever. And she packed a great lunch, you know? And then she's like, can I throw in a Starburst? I'm like, girl, throw in two, please. Two Starburst, pink Starburst? Yeah, absolutely. But I think the thing is that we do that with ourselves too. Let's take it outside of parenting for a second. I was totally going to segue here. I'm excited we're here. Okay. Restriction versus restraint with yourself. See, because here's something that I am really learning, because I shared this before on the podcast where I talked about the literal butthole surgery that I had. And with that, being in a high fiber diet, doing all those things, what that did to me mentally with food, being very specific in what I wanted to eat, how I was going to eat it, when I was going to eat it. What? And granted, I was eating great food, whole food I'm eating. I'm not eating. Okay. But instead of teaching myself the restraint of things, I went into full restriction mode because of where I was. Now, I'm not judging myself for that. And like my therapist said, at that time, that part of me needed that protective nature. And that's what I did because that was my default setting of how I operate. I don't swing in the middle. When traumatic stuff happens, I'm a far swing. I'm going all the way on whatever I think is going to protect me with that. And that's what I did. I went full fiber, no caffeine, no alcohol, no red meat, no white carbs, hard cut, everything whole grain. Like, and granted my body, honestly, knock on wood somewhere, but, I haven't had a lot of GI issues since being very diligent about fiber and water, not a lot at all. And that's coming from a gal who has suffered from diarrhea from age 16, 15, earlier than that. Cause my gallbladder was out when I was 11 or 12, until this happened, like diarrhea just multiple times a day for like what? And haven't had that problem since. Anyways, but the thing is I think we're too restrictive of ourselves. It's the same reason that I think sometimes we fail at treating our body well with physical activity, right? It's all or nothing. I'm either going to the gym 3 times a week at 5 a.m. or 5 times a week, or we teach ourselves that kind of restraint of creating the habit. Well, I got dressed to go to the gym today and that was a little movement. You know, the next week I drove to the parking lot at the gym, and I'm being dead serious. You guys, some of us really have to reframe how we treat ourselves and how we've dealt with physical activity, because it was only ever taught to me in the aspect of competition or body image. It was never taught to me in the aspect of mental health. Do you know how good I felt yesterday after working out? And it had literally nothing to do with the workout, because the workout was real minimal. On the scale of workouts I've done, that would have been like a warm up. But the endorphins I had after, I was in the best mood all day because I moved. Because I moved my body for 30 minutes. That was the workout, was 30 minutes. I did no cardio, nothing, just movement. Like going for a walk. You know, it's not about this, I have to be at this level at my 5-minute journal at 5 a.m. every day and doing my, people get so angry, the Bloom Greens or whatever. I think that's the company that everybody's on right now. But I have to be at this level at all times or else I'm not doing it at all. It's like all or nothing. And it doesn't have to be that. It doesn't have to be that level of restriction in life, in relationships, in parenting, in food. It doesn't have to be that level of restriction. It's like when you put yourself in that box, you build a very, it feels like a great box at first, right? It feels like you just are creating this environment where things are, you know, they have structure. I love structure in certain things. I need to know what you want so I can do it. Okay. Don't make it like, oh, you know, whatever your own. That was never me. When they're like, think outside the box. I'm like, okay, but where is the box? How is the box starting? What does the box look like? If I'm thinking outside of it, how outside of it do you want it? What type of outside do you like? That's me. I need some type of like guardrail. But what happens over time is when we have something besides structure, we make that box smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. And it really beats you down when you feel like you missed a step because the box has gotten so small that if you step outside of it, you failed. You've utterly failed, right? Like you do great. You're feeling good. You've quote unquote eaten well all day. This is always what people talk about. I've eaten well all day. And then 10 o'clock rolls around and you eat one of your favorite snacks. And you're like, oh God, the day was a whole waste. No, it wasn't. You had a great day. You chose things that helped your body hopefully and fueled it. And at the end of the day, you needed a little something for yourself. And you did that. Good for you for listening to yourself. Instead of seeing it as this, well, I failed on that day. Well, I can start over tomorrow. Why not just see it as I decided to have that chocolate at 10 p.m.? I don't know if that was the best decision for how I felt. Maybe I'll have it earlier in the day. Why is it all or nothing? Why is it always all or nothing? Here's the thing. I will be married for 13 years this year. I'm in absolutely no way a marriage expert, nor would I vain to give advice on it. But I'm going to tell you from my experience, something that I do understand is that if you go into marriage with an all or nothing mentality, when it comes to bad days or good days, it's going to be a rough ride, fool. It's going to be a rough ride. Because at our marriage, Blake and I have experienced things on different levels. And I will tell you, he's always so sweet and understanding. People are like, well, he should be with what you've been through. Your mom died. Your brother died. You've had different. Yes. But he rode that ship out with me. And I'm pointing to him because he's downstairs. He rode that ship out with me on days when I was not very nice. And I was kind of rude and I was really short. He wrote out the 4.5 months of me sobbing one day, being five minutes later, sitting in a tub for 3 hours, me saying I'd do something and not doing it at all. He helped me get somebody to help me do the laundry because I was so far behind. And he's like, it's not something you need to focus on. But if he was in an all or nothing mentality and he's like, I need her to be running at this level all the time on her best days, it wouldn't be really great. I'll tell you that. There are good days and there are bad days. And marriage is committing to the fact that you're going to change. And I say this in a lot of different things. Blake has quote unquote been married to 5 different women in the time we've been married. And they've all been me. But the cool thing about learning restraint in relationship, right? Restraint of, I don't know. We're not going to treat each other that way. If we're feeling really upset about this is what we're going to do. If we're having a really great day, this is what we're going to do. We're going to capitalize on it versus restriction and just that all or nothing. It's 100 or it's nothing. No, because sometimes people be given like 10% out here. Like I literally, some days I'm like, I just can't. I'm ordering DoorDash. It is what it is. I know we're supposed to budget, but I'm ruining the budget today. I'm sorry. And he's just like, oh, okay, dude. Like, and I'm like, don't worry. I'll figure it. And he's like, all right, if it's like the general idea of what we're working for together, I'm like, yes. I still need DoorDash tonight, right? Like that's, and he's like, I get it, but, or Target. I've gotten better about Target. I honestly want to pat myself on the back with that. I've been really good about Target. Excuse me. I don't know if you heard that, but I burped. I really hope you didn't hear that, but I just outed myself. So I don't know what the point was. Anyways, here's what I'm telling you. Restriction personally, with kids, it doesn't teach a kid anything. You tell them not to use the chair. When you're not in the room, they're going to curiously use it instead of just telling them, hey, look, don't use the chair like that. Granted, there are people that might make you nervous when your kids get older and they start making friends and you're worried, what will my child do? But if you equip them with tools, hopefully they'll call you if they need you. Hopefully they'll make choices. Hopefully if they get into a toxic relationship where they know that that person isn't treating them right, whether friends, dating, whatever, they will know based off of evaluating those other person's actions. See, here's what I like to do. When any of the girls come to me with an issue with a friend or a person, a family relationship, whatever, I ask them, how do you feel when you're with that person? Well, I feel good usually. Okay. How do you feel being yourself? I want them to start going through the thought process of evaluating the actions of others, the words of others in a way that creates their relationships, not in a judgmental way of them judging other people, but in a way that says, hey, when I'm around Billy at, I don't know, like, where are we? We're in the summer school. Who cares? Billy kind of talks rudely, or you know what? Billy did this and this, and that's like the fourth or fifth time. And I didn't feel good about that. But if I'm just like, yeah, you don't do that, and we don't hang out with Billy and blah, 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 it's going to be like, well, you know what? I don't want to judge Billy. Maybe he had a bad day. And that could go on and on, because that was what it was like for me. I always made up excuses for people because their relationships were so restrictive and just like a no, it's not an option. There's no reason behind it. I'm not thinking through it. I just realized that my ring light is off. Whatever, we've got natural sunlight. I want to teach them to be assessors and evaluators. And if I'm restrictive with them, they can't build that tool. If I'm not teaching them how to evaluate that, they can't build that tool. If I'm not giving them the freedom to say, I trust you, I trust your judgment, just please come to me. Hey, if you want to do that, like, we have a rule. If the girls are on Netflix and they want to watch something that's on the quote unquote adult profile, because some of the movies that are rated PG, we have on the adult profile because there are other movies that I don't know or I want to be aware of, right? So they come to us and they go, hey, can I switch it over to watch this? Yes, absolutely. I trust your judgment. Thank you for asking me. We're building that relationship. We're building that confidence because I'm building a human. I'm not building a lemming. Do you guys remember that game, The Lemmings? You might not know, but it was basically if one thing, one little lemming, they look like these little creatures, did something, the other lemmings would follow them just without even asking, without question. Just, you know, that idea of blind obedience. And I don't want a lemming. I want a living, breathing human being that can make those decisions. And that's what I'm building for. And for myself, I'm working on that restriction versus restraint when it comes to certain things, not projecting my restriction that I have fear of onto my tiny people or the people I'm in relationship with because I don't have restraint. I just have restriction in my mindset. You know, it's very important to me to build that trust, for me to ask those questions. And London and I have started having, because she's almost 10, like I said. So Paige and I have good conversations, but she's not real big sharing the day. She's tired. She's in kinder. She's like, I'm over it, right? She doesn't have a ton to say. Some days she does, but majority not. But London and I have started to have these really cool conversations where we just talk about social dynamics, whether it be at school, church, life, when we're out observing. And we have these really cool conversations. And Lennon is super insightful. And she gives me a lot of just stuff to think about. And the other day I was being a turd. And London, I was just like, I was having a moment, okay? And I didn't do my usual, like, I need a second. I just was like a turd. And I made an off-the-cuff comment like, oh, yeah. I was like, oh, okay. Well, fine then. And I just like, I was like, what? Fine then. And when I did it, I was like, man, like I thought to myself, how old are you? And Lennon looked at me and she goes, why are you speaking like that? And I looked at her because I was like, oh, she caught me. Ah, dang it. And I was like, why? And she's like, it's just not like you, but I just don't think it's very nice. And if you're upset, like you should just say it. Or if you need a second, I don't think you have to speak like that. Now I know for a lot of people that might be offensive, but for me, I was like, yeah, that's right. You know what, Lennon, you're right. I'm sorry. You called me out. You're right. The joy I had in admitting that, because I was like, yeah, girl, you're absolutely right. Tell me what's up. Tell me that's not appropriate. Tell me I shouldn't speak like that because I'm a person too. And how I treat you matters. And whether you're a tiny human or a grown adult, I want you to have the confidence to do that in the workplace, growing up, in friendships, in relationships. I want you to call me out. I loved it. I had such joy in apologizing because I was being a turd. I was being like a smart ass. Yeah, you do that. Well, who's going to call me out if she doesn't? So I apologize. And she's like, I'm just saying it because it felt weird when you did it. And I was like, yeah. She's like, okay, well, you need a second? And I was like, I do. And she's like, all right, well, let me know when you're good. So I took a couple minutes to myself. And you know what? We have relationship. She's not just a child that I'm telling what to do all the time. She's a person who lives in this home with us that gets to experience life and calls me out on my BS. And she did it nicely too, because she was being respectful. Because when you teach restraint versus restriction, you also get to teach respect when people get to come to them. It's this really cool dynamic. And I was thrilled about it. Made my day, truly. So I don't honestly know if the beginning of this recording recorded. But I do know that Corey has a play date that we have to get to. And if I make that girl late, she will just, because Corey likes to be on time. All the kids like to be on time. Heck, I like to be on time. But I could sit here and talk to you all day. I love our time together. I treasure getting to talk to you like this, because you guys, I have so many thoughts, and getting to share them with you is just so much fun to me. So I love you. And we've gotten to the point in the podcast that I always just really enjoy, but I'm going to come in close for this. If no one has told you lately, you are loved, you are valued, you have exponential and limitless potential. You are needed here. I am happy you're here. And again, I love you. Oh, one small little note. If you want to leave a review of the podcast, I would love it. Also, I'm thinking of revamping the YouTube. What do we do? What do we do? What do we do? What do I do? What do I do besides the podcast? Like, tell me your thoughts. Anyways, I really hope the beginning of this podcast recorded. If it didn't, this is going to be a short episode, but I'm going to figure it out. Anyways, you guys, thanks for venturing life with me as we figure this new year out. And again, I can't wait to, at the end of the year, when my little podcast area is set up, go back to these recordings. And again, look at how far we've come. Look at past us, be grateful in the present, and think how lucky future us is. Okay. Remember to grab the moment. Remember to grab the moment when you're feeling overwhelmed. You're feeling, stop and grab the moment. Grab the moment and remember past you. Be so grateful for them. And tell present you, look how far we've come. And tell future you that you can do that. Because sometimes present you doesn't feel like you can do it, but past you will remind you you've come this far. And you got to meet future you, because you know she's going to be kick ass. You know, like, come on. You don't want to miss out on you. All right. I love you. Have the best day.